Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Having a Sound Mind. Having a Sound Mind. Let's look at verse 1 here. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to have and ask the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us tonight. And it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, and when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen? Amen. That's where I got the message tonight. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. So let's go to verse 1. And it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. This is where our life is. It's in Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We did the great exchange. We gave God our dark heart at the cross, and he gave us a life of flesh. Can I get an amen? And now we live for Christ. And to die is to gain. So don't fear this world. Can I get an amen? Don't fear when it's time to close your eyes here on earth. Why? Because the moment we open our eyes in eternity, through faith, we will see Christ. Hallelujah. So the promise of life is in Christ Jesus. Not on this earth, not on our wealth, not on our good morals, but on Christ alone. Can I get amen? Saints, as the beginning of 1 Timothy, Paul identifies himself by name and also by the authority. Paul was an apostle, meaning one who is sent. That's what an apostle is. He is sent by the grace of God. Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples who were called apostles after Jesus' resurrection. Yet, Jesus appeared to Paul personally and commissioned him to be an apostle. And so there's a movie out right now regarding Paul, the apostle. It's a wonderful movie. I think the women had their Bible study on Monday, and so I went to go see it. It's very scripture, and it was the story of Paul, but it was a story of him being in prison already. So it took place in his latter years. And so it was a good, wholesome movie. But I was hoping that it would move me like I could only imagine. That movie moved me. But listen, anytime you talk about the apostles and those who were persecuted, let me just say this. What happened then will happen again. And persecution is coming. Look at Acts 9 and 1. Let's look at this for a moment. Because we have to understand Paul, who's writing this letter to Timothy. Can I get an amen? You have to understand this man wasn't the apostle and a model saint from the very beginning. This man wanted to destroy the church. The church during this time was called the Way. Okay? You know, it was not orale way. It wasn't nothing like that. It was the way. It was called the way, okay? All right, so let's get that clear. Look at Acts 9 and 1. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the what? Way, okay? Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Next verse. And he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, meaning, I don't care what you're doing right now, you're not going to be able to defeat the will of God. Can I get an amen? Nothing will. Look at this next verse. So he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So this letter to Timothy was saying, God is raising you up, Timothy, to be a pastor of this big church, and you're going to be empowered, and I'm going to lay hands on you, and you're going to fulfill the call in your life. Listen, just because you don't have a title, saints, doesn't mean you're not called. We are all called. Can I get amen? We are all called to preach the gospel, to live the life before unbelievers in this dying world. Can I get an amen? And so we also see that in the next scripture here in Acts 26, Paul now, he was Saul, then he became Paul. Now he's testifying as he's being apprehended. Listen, let me just say this. If you get apprehended because you're preaching the gospel, let me ask you this question. Behind the prison doors, will you still be able to preach the gospel? Or are you going to be, woe is me? No. God's going to use you even in there to testify what God has done for you. And this is what Paul did. Look at this. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light. He's telling the king, because he was apprehended, and they were going to let him go. So you know what? He had his opportunity to testify who Jesus is. Look at this. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me. Next verse. And when he all had fallen to the ground, look at this. I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are what? Persecuting. Verse 16, look at this. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. Let me just say this. The day you got saved, this is no different than how God called Saul to be Paul. Can I get an amen? We were all headed down that Damascus road. Every one of us. Some of you, you were dealing with drugs. Some of you were just lifted in pride. Some of you were just religious, good moral, but yet never washed in the blood of the Lamb. So it doesn't mean what extreme you were in. The bottom line is you weren't saved yet. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. So it says right here, it says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. God is not done with us. He's going to reveal more to you every day. Can I get an amen? I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn from darkness to light. This is why God saved you. Why? Because when you sow into the lives of those who do not believe, who are not born again, you're doing exactly what God has called you to do. To sow into the life of an unbeliever so that God will give them now ears to hear and eyes to see. And that's what the Bible says. In order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. See, people get offended. Unbelievers get offended when you tell them this. You are of your father, the devil. And they'll go, huh? Some of them will want to slap you upside your head. So some of them will think that you're taunting them and you want to exchange them blows. Well, Jesus told the religious folks, didn't he? He told the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, he goes, you guys are all like your father, the devil. Man, that's when they picked up rocks, and the Bible says Jesus was gone. He didn't allow them to throw rocks at him. He was gone. But he told truth. And so when we share to unbelievers, we must believe that God can transform them and pull them out of the power of Satan into God's kingdom. Can I get an amen? That's what it says right here. Does the word say that? And from the power of Satan to God. Thank you, God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Thank you, God. That's how we got saved, through faith. And Jesus, who called us by his grace. Can I get an amen? Saints, Paul did not seek this apostleship. Did you know that you weren't... How many believe that you guys weren't seeking God? Did you know he was seeking you? Paul, Jesus told his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That's right. So Paul did not seek this apostleship. He was trying to destroy the church of the way. Instead, he was chosen by God. Can I get an amen? Thus, Paul could truthfully say that he was an apostle of God's will. Why? Because obviously, saints, this formal introduction was unnecessary for Timothy. However, Paul knew that his letters and teachings ultimately would reach a much larger audience. So he included these credentials in his salutation. Praise God. Praise God. So the phrase, the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus, provides saints almost a summary statement of Paul's theology. The just shall live by what? By faith. Thank you, God. To have faith in Christ Jesus involves trusting him, identifying with him, seeing others under his protection and authority, and recognizing his presence among us. Last Sunday, we were in the fellowship hall, and I went into the kitchen. There was two people in there. It was Sister Yvonne and Sister Louisa. And I shared with them that it was the second song during worship. I was right there. The Holy Ghost fell on me, and his presence was all over me. And how many of you ever been in a desert place? Oh, yeah. We all have a desert experience, don't we? Where you think God's left you, but he hasn't. You just don't feel his presence. And we're not supposed to operate in feelings. We're supposed to walk in faith. Can I get an amen? But when he jumps all over you and his presence is all over you, man, I'm telling you, you can't keep it quiet. You got to say, man, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for touching me right now. Man, and man, I was just testifying in that little kitchen back there, man. And then Louisa said to me, he touched me too during the service. I said, man, thank you, God. That's the kind of God we serve. And when you need to be touched by him, he'll just go, boom. And man, you're lit up like a Christmas tree. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so let's move on to verse 2. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Paul's always mentioning grace and mercy. Why? Because it is by grace we are saved, and it is his mercy. Because we deserve judgment. But he said, I'm having mercy on them. Man, I'm telling you, yeah, grace is unmerited favor. But mercy is saying you were supposed to die, but now you will live. Wow. Thank you, God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed that we have a loving Savior like that? Come on. Thank you, God. Saints, Paul most likely met the young Timothy and his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You know, some of you have grandparents and parents that love the Lord and passed it down. But you know what I've seen in this generation? Us, in this present generation, we went back to our mothers. We went back to our grandparents, and we brought the gospel to them. Can I get an amen? God will do it. He will jump out of the order. Because here, Eunice and Lois, they were saved. They passed it on to Timothy. But praise God. And when Barnabas visited Lystra, a city in the province of Galatia, on the first missionary trip, that's where Paul met them all. Thank you, God. And so the young disciple traveled the empire with Paul. Thank you, God, he did. Timothy's mentioned with him many places, preaching and teaching the good news. He became Paul's assistant, traveling with him, sometimes for a great period of time. Thank you, God. And Paul referred to Timothy as my dear son, so he was close. Man, that's like someone's right-hand man, someone that's close and dear. But as an apostle, he saw the gift that was in Timothy. And let me just say this, many of you here tonight, God has gifted you. God has gifted you. And if you haven't been exercising your gift, he will open up doors so that you will exercise that gift. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so grace and peace in the greeting of Paul's letters were always eminent. And in his letters to Timothy, however, he added mercy. Mercy pictures God's loving kindness, so often written about in the Old Testament. God's mercy helps us day by day. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. When we wake up in the morning and we take that first breath, even though we're breathing when we're asleep, but when we wake up, man, that first breath we take is because of his mercy. Thank you, God. So Paul loved Timothy dearly, so he added mercy to reassure Timothy of God's constant protection and guidance, especially important as Paul faced his own death. So let's go to verse 3 now. Verse 3 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, and my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Saints, there are people in your life that God is saying, keep praying for them. Don't stop praying for them. How many of you can honestly say you have immediate family, extended family, and acquaintances that are not saved? Okay, God is saying tonight, don't stop praying for them. Don't stop. Why? Because there's power in prayer. Can I get amen? Saints, Paul constantly prayed for the churches he founded and visited. And we can see this in the scripture. And Paul prayed constantly for Timothy, his friend. He called him my son, his fellow traveler, his son in the faith, and a strong leader in the Christian church. So when you see the epistles written in the New Testament, Romans and Colossians and Philippians, you'll always see Paul praying for them. Look at this right here. Look at it in Romans right here. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. So he was thanking God for them, praying for them. Look at the next verse of scripture right up here. I thank God, and he's writing to the Philippian church, upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Look at that. Making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Man, I'm telling you, and no matter where Paul was, whether he was on a ship ready to be shipwrecked, whether he was about to go into prison, whether he was in prison, whether he was tossed out of a second-story building, even he was beaten by Jews with these steel rods, and he would get whipped about 40 times. Just imagine a steel bar and someone beating you with that. Man, you would think maybe a couple bones got broken. But that's what Paul would still praise God And he would still say, I'm praying for you. Wow. Man, look at this next verse in Colossians right here. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you. Saints, don't stop praying. Can I get an amen? Never stop praying for your loved ones. Never stop praying for those people in your precious life. You and I, by the grace of God, we have what's called a sphere of influence. Every one of us do have this. There's people in your life that I'll never meet in my lifetime, and there's people in my life you will probably never meet in your lifetime. But those people that are in your sphere of influence, those are the ones you keep praying for. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And although the two men were separated from each other, their prayers provided a source of mutual encouragement. Sitting in a damp Roman prison cell, the great missionary Paul could no longer preach and travel. But one thing that they couldn't stop him doing, and that was what? Praying. You could pray anywhere. I've shared it, I think it was about three Sundays ago. There are some people that are incarcerated that are more free than people walking around in the streets. Because some of them find Christ, and they're free now. They're free of the sin, the guilt, and the shame. And now they can worship God even behind bars. That's hard to imagine, but it's true. And then there's people walking around in our streets, toe up from the flow up. Don't know who God is. And so Paul's dearest friend, Timothy, ministered in Ephesus with believers very dear to him. Paul expressed his thankfulness to God for Timothy and his ministry, praying for him night and day. Paul knew that he would die soon. These letters that he was writing to Timothy, his life was about to expire. And you know how he died? They laid him sideways and they chopped off his head. That's how Paul died. He was a martyr. Oh, yeah. The great Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. So when you start reading the Gospels, you start reading the epistles that Paul wrote, you have to say, God, speak to me, Lord, because this man who you use mightily, he died a horrible death. But as soon as that blade touched his neck, God took him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that's why the Bible says that Jesus defeated the sting of death. Can I get an amen? So when it's time for us to go, the moment that sting of death comes, God takes us. Come on. Don't be afraid of death. Hey, we're here but for a moment. Can I get an amen? Live your life the fullest. Preach the gospel. Live a sanctified, holy life unto him. Hallelujah. And when you sin, confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Continue that mode with him. Hallelujah. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. And he, for some of you, he's doing it right now. Paul's almost his parenthetical statement that he worshiped God with a clear conscience mirrors his words in 1 Timothy. Because he had a clear conscience. You know what? The devil had nothing on Paul. And let me just say this. The devil don't got nothing on you. You know why? Because all of us are washed by the blood of the Lamb. How many times have I shared with you that when God the Father looks down, guess what? He don't see your sin no more. He sees the blood, hallelujah, that was applied. Thank you, God. And that's the only thing that's going to get us out of here, is that we were washed in the blood. Thank you, God. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remissions of sins. Hey, don't miss Sunday, because I'm going to teach about the resurrection through the Hebraic lens, and it's about the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits, And Jesus rose again on Nisan 17. And that's not the Japanese car automobile company, Nissan. It's Nisan 17. So, in actuality, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, is when he actually rose again. Not Sunday. Sunday is, you know, the word Easter, it was basically glorified by the Catholics. And so when you go to stores like Walmart and all these, all you see is the egg, the Reese's peanut butter eggs, and the bunnies, huh? That's not about Jesus. It's not about an Easter egg hunt. I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to preach against that. You go enjoy your family how you enjoy your family. But I'm here to let you know, he did not rise on that day. He rose on the biblical calendar of Nisan 17. Because he died on Passover. And Passover is this Saturday. Thank you, God. Nisan 15. So you got to count. 1, 2, 3. He rose again on Tuesday. So listen, you know, remember you saw that movie, God's Not Dead, and at the end of the first movie, he says, text everyone, God's not dead. Man, text everybody on Tuesday, he is risen. He is risen. Because that's what God looks on. He don't look at our calendar. He looks at his own calendar. Nisan 17. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So you're going to get just a Hebraic teaching this Sunday. Don't miss it. Amen. Hey, and guess what? We may be having 3 baptisms. We have 2 for sure. Yes. So Joseph, Sister Tammy's cousin, Yahaiva, who comes with JP, and maybe Libby. Pray for Libby. And that's Brother Eddie's first cousin. So pray. Just pray. Man, I'm telling you, God's going to pour out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And I know some of you have big family outings, you know. Praise God. If you can't make it to the baptism, at least pray for them. Amen? That God will do something miraculous in their life. And God will start their journey. Amen? And so we see ourselves that in this verse of Scripture that regarding the conscience, God has made. Did you know that when we gave our hearts to Christ, our conscience is now pure with Christ? Amen. Yeah, we still have thoughts of lust, and we still have things that we make mistakes in. But when you're washed in the blood, you are a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Look at this right here in Acts. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. See, only God can give us now these wonderful thoughts of him. Come on, before you got saved, you weren't thinking about God. We were all looking for love in all the wrong places. And it's not just a country and western song. Look at 1 Timothy 1:5. We read this earlier. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a what? Pure heart. From a good conscience and with sincere faith. That's what God is doing in your lives. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy. Don't let anyone say, well, you know what? I don't know about you. You know, because they think about your past. So just remind them of their future lest they repent, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Lest they repent. Remind them. But they don't have to go there. Can I get an amen? Jesus can save them. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so most likely, Paul was describing his life of service to God as being wholehearted and without regrets. Can I get an amen? Man, Paul loved God. Look at what it says right here in Romans. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Man, I praise God for Paul. Isn't he blessed? Isn't he blessed, man? Paul wrote all this down for us to be edified and be built up. To be built up in the faith. Thank you, God. So saints, as Paul looked back over his life, mainly his life since his call to the apostleship and ministry, he could confidently say that he had accomplished what God had called him to do. Listen, that's what we want to hear from God. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So don't let the enemy dupe you. Don't let the enemy try to strong arm you. Don't let them try to blackmail you. If you fall into a type of sin, repent. Can I get amen? Cry out to God. Say, God, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me for this. And keep moving on. Don't look back. Hallelujah. Because the enemy is going to say, well, wait a minute. I just saw you do this. That's a lie from the pit. You keep on pressing. Amen. Listen, if God didn't make provision in the Word of God for us and for future incidences, it would have never been written. But 1 John 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Man, God makes provision for us. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Come on, man. He doesn't play Russian roulette with our life. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows exactly, hallelujah, where he's putting you and placing you. Why? Because there's divine purpose in your life. Amen. You're not unsaved no more. You're his. You're eternally his. And so he's like the master chess player. He's moving you where he wants to move you. Come on, think of that. And then when we get to heaven, it'll be checkmate. Amen. Thank you, God. Let's look at verse 4. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Saints, we cannot experience true joy without the Holy Spirit. You know, you can go to Disneyland and have a good time. Oh, this is supposed to be the happiest place in the world. And then when you're in line for an hour and a half for one ride, I'm not so happy no more. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That gives you great joy and comfort. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so we don't know when Paul and Timothy had last parted, but it was probably when Paul was arrested, taken to Rome for his second imprisonment. Man, that man was always incarcerated. I thank God for Paul. Because he was never ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he knew and understood that it was the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. So the tears they had shed at parting had revealed the depth of their relationship. Timothy brought Paul great joy, but they had something in common, the koinonia spirit, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's what makes it alive and well. You can have a religious atmosphere. You can have a social atmosphere. But when Jesus shows up with the Spirit of God, that's what brings the unity. Can I get an amen? That's where the love is. That's where we can learn how to really die to self through the power of the Holy Ghost. So true love and joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's right. Because look what it says in Galatians right here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and what? Joy. Man, how many can honestly testify that when God touched you with the Holy Spirit, you had this joy you couldn't comprehend? Man, I'm telling you, I was walking around, man. I must have called up 50 people when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all said, man, what is he on now? But man, they couldn't understand it. When God fills you with all this joy from the Holy Ghost, they can't comprehend it. But this is what the Holy Spirit gives you. And it's his grace that it comes upon you at salvation. Look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit. No, let's go back. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See? These attributes here of the Holy Spirit, the depth of it is endless. You can love unconditionally with others. And there's no, well, I'm only going to love you just until next month. And then it ends. It don't work that way. He fills you with an eternal love. So you take it into eternity with you. And all God is saying, love your enemies like yourself. That's the toughest thing to do when someone has talked about you, has said vile and vicious things about you, has stolen from you, robbed from you, beaten you, maybe molested you. The toughest thing to do is, I got to forgive that person. Uh-huh. Because Jesus did. Look what he did on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what about us tonight? How about the people in your life, in my life, that has wronged us? Can you honestly say, man, I forgive them. I forgive them. You have to. Or guess what? Your ministry will not continue. You know what spoke to me? I'm telling you, big time. And I could watch this movie every night. You know that movie, I Can Only Imagine? What spoke to me is that leader of that band, Bart Millard or Mallard, he couldn't go any further with his ministry until he went back and got it right with his dad. And then it took off. The miracle happened. There may be someone in your life tonight that maybe you haven't resolved issues. And maybe they forgot about it, but you know how it went down. Go to God and then try to find them and say, you know what, I'm sorry. Whether they're thinking about it or not. But when you're right with God 100% like that, man, he will take you from faith to faith, glory to glory. You know why? Because there's no issues in your life blocking you from going the farthest you can with him. Can I get an amen? And so, we need the Spirit of God to have this joy. And it's outlined in Acts 13:47. Look at this. It says, for the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles. So for us who are filled with the Holy Ghost, we can witness to Gentile and Jew. Because there's only two types of people in the world, in this world. It's not ethnicity. It's not about black, brown, white, yellow, green. There's only two types of people on this planet. Gentiles, that's us, and Jews. That's all the Bible mentions. And when God saved us, we became a new man. So Jews and Gentiles can become that new man. Praise God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So look at this. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. That's our call. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 48. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as been appointed to eternal life believed. Did you catch that? As many that were appointed, I mean, it was God's hand all by himself. Hallelujah. I don't care where you were the time you got saved. You were doing your thing out there in the world. But guess what? There was an appointed time. Hallelujah. Where he came to your doorstep, and then he quickened you, made you see the cross, and you ran. Hallelujah. And God gave you salvation at that moment. Thank you, God. You know why it didn't take much time? Because he knows the devil would have came right away. So God opened your eyes, opened your ears, you saw the cross, and you ran. Hallelujah. And you confessed your sin, and then God saved you at that moment. Because if he would have just opened your eyes and not did anything, man, here comes the enemy to try to rob you from this great salvation. God knew right away. As soon as I open their eyes, they're going to see me. And we're going to run. Come on, ask yourself, before you got saved, were you seeking him? No, none of us were. We were dead. You ever been to a funeral and there's someone there in the casket and you try to talk to them? They can't hear you no more. They're dead. They're gone. We were gone. And then God quickened us. Bam! And our soul was alive. And we saw him. And we ran to the cross. Oh, and that's why those tears and you start weeping. You know why? Because that's the love of God that just fell on you. God drew you right at that moment. And guess what? It's sealed forevermore. That's right. We are adopted. We are sealed until the day of redemption. So when God filled you with his Spirit, that's the down payment saying, that's mine, that one's 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 mine. And so us that have the Holy Spirit, we're his. That's how it works. It's not hard to figure out. Can I get an amen? But look at verse 50 up here. It says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. Listen, it doesn't matter if you witness to someone and they mock and laugh at you. You just dust off your feet and you keep moving. We all think, man, I just shared the gospel. How come you're not saved right now? It don't work that way. We plant, we water, God will give the increase. And he'll choose the time. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Look at verse 5 in 2 Timothy. We're coming in for a close. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded in you also. So saints, Timothy's mother and grandmother Eunice and Lois were early Christian converts, possibly through Paul's ministry in their home in Lystra. Look right here in Acts 16:1. We're just going to look at this real quick. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Amen. So this is the time frame when these souls were getting saved. Amen. They had communicated their strong Christian faith to Timothy, even though the Greek father was probably not a believer. Paul mentioned that he knew Timothy, sincerely trusted the Lord, became Timothy's genuine faith, stood in bold contrast to the sincerity of those who were there around, many of them that Paul had preached and ministered to. Saints, Paul had no doubts concerning Timothy's faith. Listen, I don't have no doubt concerning your faith. You know why? Because there's a whole lot of people that care less about a Wednesday night Bible study or even let alone coming to church at all. But seeing you coming, being in the Word, and living your life, that right there is all the witness that anyone needs. And not to judge you, no. But to see the fruit that's coming forth out of your life. Isn't that a blessing to see the fruit coming out of your life? Thank you, God. What if you had three avocado trees in your backyard and none of them bear fruit? You're never going to have some guacamole. You get so mad, you're going to uproot them. Man, I love me some guacamole and my roll tacos. Let's move on. Saints, faith requires us to be steadfast, unwavering, especially when we're under pressure, facing opposition. That's when the rubber meets the road, amen? So to trust God each day is a decision you and I must make. It's not an emotion that we feel. Put aside our feelings. We have to walk in faith. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this first question that I impose upon all of us. Is your faith half-hearted? Is it? Or are you all the way in? I believe we're all the way in. Can I get an amen? Because listen, it takes a whole lot of faith of what we're going through to walk this walk, to believe God for all things. Some of you are believing God for miracles right now. Come on, I know it. We're all believing for things only God can deliver. Man said, not you. They look at your credentials. They look at your stature. They look at everything. And they say, I'm sorry, but God can open doors that no man can shut. Can I get an amen? You have to believe that because the Bible says right up here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I get an amen? Keep on knocking. Keep on pounding that door and keep on believing God. Hallelujah. And watch God deliver. We serve a God that delivers. Oh, yes. I remember when we were kids. Some of you was just too long ago, or you have no recognition of it. But when I was like around 7 years old, we used to hear this little bell, and we used to run out of our houses, and here comes the bakery man. You remember him? He would come in, and he would bring donuts, and the door, the drawers would slide open, and they, man, there were all kinds of donuts. They don't have that no more, do they? And then the milkman would come and bring ice cream. Where did those days go? Huh? Where did those days go? I was going like, wow. But let me just say this. Those things that were precious to us when we were little, there are things in your life right now that you are asking God that are real precious to you. You need to, hallelujah, have faith and do not doubt and waver. Can I get an amen? Believe God. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Thank you, God. So don't give up on God. And remember all the good that he's done. And all the good that he's done, guess what? He will continue to bless you with those good things. Can I get an amen? That's the kind of God we serve. Or number two, look at this. Do you rely on how you feel to determine your faithfulness to God? Is it about feelings? If it's about feelings, you're going to disappoint yourself. I feel really good right now, but I feel miserable tomorrow. It's so easy to get caught up emotionally. But we got to set that aside and walk in faith. Can I get an amen? Why? Because King David understood this right up here in Psalms. Look what he says. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. I don't care what you're going through. You give him praise and glory. Can I get an amen? Worship the king. Despite of yourself. Despite of your circumstance. God, watch God do the miraculous. I serve a miracle God. I hope you know that. You know you serve a miracle God, right? Amen. Oh, yes. Look at Colossians 1:21. And you who once were alienated, we were all enemies to God. In your mind by wicked works. Come on, the things we used to do. Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. So God looks at you differently now. Aren't you so blessed? He don't look at you as a wicked worker no more. He looks at you as a humble servant that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. Hey, when's your sister coming back? Man, she was shouting, shouting, hallelujah. Man, she was fanning the flames Sunday morning. Tell her to come back again, man. I need those hallelujahs in the house. Can I get an amen? The last one was Sister Joan, Brother Lafayette's mom. She's just sitting right back there. Preach, preach. You know what that is? That's fanning the flames. Man, tell her I want her back. Tell her to come back down. She lives all the way in Timbuktu, man, but tell her to come back down. Look at verse 23. Look at this. If indeed you continue the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, in which I, Paul, became a minister. Be steadfast. Don't move. Can I get an amen? Be grounded. Hallelujah. Don't let things that come your way move you. Be steadfast in Christ and believe all things, hope all things. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Can I get an amen? We're coming in for a close. Look at number 6 here in 2 Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of the hands. Listen, every one of us has gifts. Can I get an amen? You are gifted. You guys have gifts beyond comprehension. You just have to walk in faith. Man, when you go pray for someone, believe that God's going to raise this one up. Believe God's going to bless that one in their financial struggle. Believe God can open up blind eyes, hallelujah, and the dumb to speak. Believe those things. You be used by God. Walk in faith. And let me just tell you, when you start operating in that realm, man, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. And maybe you're not getting a check from the state for going praying for someone, but God has written that down in heaven. He remembers everything. Hallelujah. So Timothy was reminded right up here, and Paul reminded him, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the eldership. You remember when you were, how many remember when you were baptized in water as an adult? Remember hands were laid on you? God recorded that. You may not have photos of it. You may have forgotten how it went down. But man, the laying of the hands, the preaching of the gospel, God has not forgotten that. So we close with this scripture here, where I got my message tonight. For God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. My sister that testified, you got to say, this is my teddy bear tonight. I'm going to believe God. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says, because I know who Dr. Jesus is. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So saints, Timothy experienced constant opposition to his message and to himself as a leader. You're going to get opposition. And don't fret. Don't get mad because they persecute you. Don't. Rejoice. Rejoice. His youth, his association with Paul, his leadership had come under fire from believers and non-believers alike. So God has not given his people, you and I, a spirit of fear and timidity. Rather, God provides, number one, he provides this right up here, power. We do not need to have naturally powerful personalities. God gives strength of character and confidence that wins us respect when we face opposition as we speak, preach, and live the truth. God supernaturally replaces any timidity on the servant's part with boldness. Such power is difficult to discredit. Can I get an amen? So when you're dying to self and you're learning how to give away your life, that's when you find your life. Can I get an amen? So love, power, and of a sound mind. Let's look at number two, love. Accompanying the power to speak the truth must be love for the listeners, believers, and non-believers alike. Love separates Christians from the heathen world around them. Indeed, love separated the minister of Christ from the false teachers. Such love is difficult to dismiss. And then we're going to look at this last point, number three. And this is the toughest one. This is where you have to walk in faith. Self-discipline. Remember that old slogan years ago? Just say no. Remember that? She said it. Just say no. Amen? So when you get tempted by the devil, just say no. When your mind tries to trick you, just say no to your mind. Say, I got the power of God living in me. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. You start rebuking that thing, right? Self-discipline. This can also be translated as self, what? Control or sound mind. In order to lead others, true ministers must control themselves. To put it in another way, a good leader must have a cool head. Such control, such soundness is difficult to disclaim. So God has equipped the saints. Can I get an amen? Don't ever sell yourself short, because God is doing a powerful thing in your life. Don't discredit the things of your failures, because we all fail. We all miss the mark. But know who is leading you, guiding you, upholding you, loving you constantly. Even when you don't feel loved, God is loving you. And so the inclusion of love and self-control clearly indicates a leader's effectiveness that comes from God's Spirit. We may be impressed by a leader who exhibits boldness and power, but without love or self-control, such a leader is little more than a bully. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, while we were all yet sinners, you died for us. So the moment you quickened us, the moment you opened our eyes, we saw you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this wonderful and great salvation. And Lord, for many that are going to be celebrating the Resurrection Day according to the Gregorian calendar, not the biblical calendar, on Sunday, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that they would have a wonderful time with their families. And Lord, that they could just spread the love and the joy, for you are joyful. I thank you, God, that we're not slaves to the enemy anymore. But you call us servants now, and you call us friends. But more so, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so, Lord, be glorified, be magnified, be high and lifted up. And I'm praying for someone that maybe stumbled onto this message and maybe never heard this message of love and God's grace and his mercy. If that's you listening to this message, please allow us to pray with you. Now, just remember, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you, deliver you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if that's you listening to this message, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Come on. He's worthy, huh? He's worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.